got something to say, and I really want the world to know, is that you have me forever and always. And if I had a measuring tape and every ruler from across the globe, it still couldn't measure the length of my love.
Hello, 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 and welcome to the Lynn Woods Gospel Entertainment Podcast, where we talk to inspire. And my guest today is Darius Polk. He's a singer and accomplished songwriter and worship leader from the Atlanta area. His current single is the inspirational tune On and On, and it's on the Malico record label from his debut album, Strong. Now, Darius has written songs that were recorded by some of your favorite gospel artists, like Marvin Sapp, Tamela Mann, Jason Nelson, and J.J. Harris, and some more. And you know what? He's a songwriter who penned that mega hit with all y'all been singing in church, Nobody Greater, by Vashon Mitchell. So Darius, finally, welcome to the podcast where we talk to inspire.
Thank you for having me. Very, very happy to be here.
Oh, and I thank you because I understand you like doing radio interviews.
Yeah, either that or I just like to talk. Either way, they go hand in hand, I guess.
Either way, hon, that or you like to talk. But how were you doing in this midst of this pandemic that's going on? I know you're within the Atlanta area, but how are things going for you?
Things are going, you know, pretty well. I have had, you know, some high days, and I've also had some very low days where I have had to, you know, call my therapist and schedule a Zoom call.
Yes.
So I could just get it out, you know, with everything going on, just with the racial tension and with the pandemic going on, and, you know, just the overall feeling here in America and really across the world, just a lot sometimes. So I'm staying very prayerful, okay. Trying to keep my spirit clean, and my eyesight very clear, so that I can, see my way, and praying for people along the way.
Amen.
Doing pretty good.
Amen. Amen.
I can't really
amen.
Complain.
And I applaud you for going to therapy, because I do go to therapy too, but mine is a grief therapy thing, where my nephew was murdered a couple of years back, and I'm going through grief therapy for that. So I applaud anyone that feels that they need some help. I know we pray and we go to church, but also if you need some additional help, go to therapy. I believe that God works through the therapist. He works through the medical doctors, and when you got to go get something happen to you, you got to go get checked, right? All right, so
He created all of the medicine, so, you know.
Yes, he did. So, yay for the therapist, especially during this pandemic, because folks are kind of losing it.
Yeah.
Okay, now let's get into the story of Darius Polk. You've been singing, I understand, since you were at least about 4 years old, and I understand you started singing in your church, and there's a story behind that involves Grandmother Gloria. So talk to me about that.
As the story goes, my grandmother sang in the choir, and I guess she would always have me in her lap for a church anniversary one year. I guess everybody was singing songs, so I jumped down out of her lap, and I went and pulled on, around this time, preachers were still wearing those big robes, so I pulled on my reverend's robe, Reverend Talbot, and I told him I wanted to sing a song. So he looked at my grandma, and he said, "Can he sing?" She said, "Well, I don't know." So I got her, he set me in his chair, and I sang Shirley Caesar's "I Say Yes, Lord, Yes," and that was my first public
performance. Public performance. Oh, I wonder what got into that little 4-year-old's head. Like, I want to sing a song.
I want to sing a song right now.
Right now. All right. Then grandmother was in the choir. Does anybody else in your family perform, play music or sing music?
Yeah, well, my family, they sing. My dad sings, my mom sings. Yeah, mom, everybody sings pretty much, yeah.
Everybody sings, okay.
Musical family.
Musical family. Oh, since you are from a musical family, let me ask you this then. What did you listen to as a child? And did your family, did they allow you to listen to all kinds of music, where you had all these various musical influences, or were you told, nope, you're just going to listen to church music?
Now, it's kind of a tale of two cities, because my mom was, CeCe Winans, the Clarks, Hawkins and, you know, John B. Key and, you know, Carmen and, you know, all those people.
Mm-hmm.
But my dad was a DJ, so he let us listen to, like, Stevie Wonder and Gerald Levert and Parliament and the Funkadelics and all that stuff. So we kind of got a good mix of both.
Okay.
So, yeah, I got a good mix of both. My mom wasn't really on the, she wasn't letting us listen to mainstream music, but my dad, he did.
So, yeah. Oh, okay, that's interesting. So you mm-hmm. you got it on both sides. Whatever you missed on one, you picked up on the other.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well.
You got it.
But you got it in musically, right?
Yeah.
So did you go get any training for music, or was this self-taught?
I took the chorus in middle school. My chorus teachers, I had very good chorus teachers growing up. They taught us technique and, you know, all that stuff, and then it carried on into college where I kept it up at Morris Brown. I haven't really had any voice lessons, but I've always, throughout my scholastic career, I've always worked with choral music. So no outside training other than that.
I have to
and
give it.
Singing in church.
Other than singing in church, praise the Lord. Oh, and I also want to pause for a minute and give a shout out to HBCUs. Yay, Morris Brown. I graduated from Fisk University, magna cum laude. Yay, HBCUs. Now back to your music and, you know, out from our shout out to HBCUs. When did you know that you wanted to do music, either write or perform music as a career, and then when did it transition from, okay, I want to do this, okay, I'm doing this in the church, I want to do a career with it, but it is also a ministry for me. When did you make a transition from just doing church to career and then ministry with it?
I can honestly say that I'm one of those persons that I have always wanted to do what I am doing now.
Really?
I can remember as far back as like maybe 10 or 11, like I would make my cousins be my background singers, and whenever they would get tired, I would be like, okay, you know what? When I get on Bobby Jones, like, don't ask me to come sing background for me because y'all don't want to practice.
That's,
you know,
funny.
I always wanted to do what I'm doing now. When I really felt like it could happen is when Nobody Greater, you know, kind of took off, I was like, okay, maybe this is something, you know, that's more than just a, you know, childhood fantasy. Maybe it can become something real.
Okay, so you brought up Nobody Greater. That's the song that you penned for Vashon Mitchell, which was recently certified gold. It was the number 6 hot gospel song of the decade by Billboard.
Mm-hmm.
And that is awesome. So congratulations on that.
Thank you.
And I understand, too, you are honored and recognized by ASCAP. But first, I want to know the backstory on Nobody Greater, because we all know that song.
It really started off as just a song that I started leading worship at this church that I started going to in college, Citadel of Hope, Church of God in Christ. And we were singing, I would do praise and worship, but we would always sing the same song. So I was like, you know what, maybe I should try my hand at just writing a song, you know. And I had been kind of going through some things, and this song had kind of come to me while I was in prayer one day, and I tried it out. People started singing it like all over the city, and then this choir got it and took it, and they started singing it, and then Michonne heard it, and then he recorded it and kind of imploded.
But no, it blew up, child. It is an awesome song that has touched so many lives, inspired and encouraged and uplifted. You never know what God's going to give you and how powerful he can make something that you thought was just, oh, it's just a little song I wrote, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
That is amazing. So I appreciate you for that.
Still being surreal.
Appreciate you for that and for penning that song that has uplifted so many people, not only in our country, but around the world. So shout out to you. Shouts up to Christ. Amen. You are the worship leader, I understand, at House of Hope in Atlanta, where Dr. E. Dewey Smith is the pastor. How long have you been there, and how are you juggling this with being a worship leader and a recording artist? This is relatively easy right now since we're in a pandemic and you can't go anywhere, but otherwise.
Everything is super easy now.
Oh, yes.
But yes, I have served Pastor Smith and the House of Hope, my House of Hope Church family, where I'm also a member, for about six or seven 7 years in.
Okay.
You know, it's always, I haven't always been singing, but I'm just now kind of getting into the artist side of things. So I haven't always been an artist. I've just kind of, I've been there serving my church. And I think that one good way that I have just kind of juggled everything is that my church is also my family, and they want me to be as successful as, you know, I'm going to be. So they understand, and they give me that leeway to be away. And we have a worship team. I'm just not the main worship leader.
Okay.
We have a worship team that we just kind of communicate with each other, because we all do things, you know, in the industry. So it's just we just have a great team and great church family who understands what we do and what it takes for us to do what we do. So that's how I've been able to juggle everything.
Well, that's awesome to have that kind of, you know, support from your church.
Mm-hmm.
All right, then. So can you give out any advice for aspiring songwriters out there? I know you made the transition from songwriter to artist, but you were always performing anyway. But do you have any advice to someone out there who says, I want to write more music, and specifically for gospel? What advice would you give them? Yeah, think about that a long time, huh?
Specifically for gospel... So specific to gospel, gospel is so many things, because our music really is at the core of it a sacred music. So it, you know, as opposed to if you were an R&B artist or a mainstream songwriter, you know, you would just not need to be connected to, you would need to be connected to a different stream of something. You know, like when you're a gospel artist and a gospel songwriter and you're writing, you know, gospel songs, you have to be connected, you know, really, really sincerely to God. So specifically for gospel songwriters, I would just say that always maintain your connection to the source. Like, you can never get away from, you know, the things that made you that anointed or made you that talented. You know, you always have to stay connected to the main source, and our main source is God. Second thing that I would say is, know the business that you're a part of. God wouldn't call you to a thing and not require that you educate yourself on that thing so you can know how to maneuver it in it. So I would also say, always be an eternal student of the game and of the industry. Always know, you know, learn the business that you're a part of. And number three, keep your ears open. I listen to almost everything. I listen to classical music. I listen to rock and roll. I listen to blues. I listen to, you know, mainstream, you know, pop and, you know, old school pop. I listen to everything because I believe that you can gain inspiration from everything and make beautiful music and genre pushing music in the genre that you're a part of, you know, because you keep yourself so open. So I just say, listen to everything. Never box yourself into just one genre of music as it pertains to what you gain inspiration from.
Okay.
Is that too much?
No, that's you sounded like you were like in one of my urban music seminars that we did, we did Urban Network, and I was like the gospel coordinator for years, and so I was the person that's in the middle of an urban environment with a seminar focusing on gospel, but we included urban folks. So yeah. So yeah, you would have been a good one to have on my panel. Oh, gee. Now, that was good education there. So thank you so much, Darius. Let's talk about your music that's out on the Malaco label. Your album, Strong, debuted on the Billboard charts at number 11. And then you had the single, Strong Name, also charted. And now we got On and On, Making an Impact. Did you write and produce this whole album? How'd you put it together?
Strong was a process. I had done a independent EP before, and just to kind of put some feelers out to see, you know, if people kind of wanted what I had to offer.
Okay.
and we got a great response to it, but I wanted to take my time with Strong, so we took about maybe 3 or 4 years, like, really just putting these together and taking out songs and putting songs in and, you know, just making sure that everything just fit right and it felt organic.
Okay.
So On and On is one of those songs. I wrote and produced that along with my friend and producer, Kurt Canha. Yeah, did I answer your question? I'm sorry.
Yeah, kind of sort. I just wanted, who worked with you on the album? Did you write and produce it all by yourself?
I wrote and produced everything along with Kurt Kenha. He's also one of the producers on the
project.
Only other producer on the project.
Oh, okay. So why is this album so special? And who do you think it's going to be? Who is it geared towards? Who's it going to help? Who's it going to inspire?
This album is special because it's my first album, full album, first of all. And then I think it just kind of gives, it gave me a chance to just kind of give people a glimpse into some of my musical inspirations. And the way that we put the record together is we wanted it to be all encompassing. So we tried to put something on there for everybody. We got, you know, really, really just streamlined gospel music. We got some fusions in there that, you know, are reminiscent of, you know, Morris Day and the Times and, you know, Parliament and the Funkadelic.
Wow.
And we also have some, you know, very laid back gospel message heavy gospel that some people will like. So we put the record together to reach everybody from young to old, anybody who just loves great music. I wanted to reach those people.
Now, which one of those songs on there, if you had to pick one, Darius, what song would that be to say, you know, this my jam, this my thing here?
If I had to choose a song that was my favorite on the record, it would probably be We Live to Worship. I can listen to We Live to Worship almost every day. It's one of my favorite songs.
Well, why is it?
Like, gas it up because I wrote it, but one of those songs that.
Oh,
I love it. I love that song. We Live to Worship.
Is it because it has like that specific message that speaks to you, or why that particular song?
It's just it's really at the core of who I am. That's just really just that is my life message. Like my life really is a testimony to just the grace and mercy of God.
Okay.
You know, I found myself in some very just precarious situations, and I've always been able to connect my worship with my exodus, you know, those things. So that it's just kind of like my life song almost. So
that was interesting.
The message of it.
Connect my something with my exodus?
I could always connect my worship with my exodus of certain things, right? I could always find myself, you know, in bad situations, and I would always just kind of bring myself back to who I really am, and that's a worshiper. And I could just kind of lift my worship up to God in sincerity and, you know, just in repentance, and always find myself coming out of the things that I found myself in as a result of the worship that I gave to God.
Now, you know what, Darius? You have spoken a word to me. You said connect my worship with my exodus. I'm going to have to write that down. You need to write a song about that, Darius Polk. Oh, well, but where can people find your music? Now, where is it available? I know it's available digitally. Is it also available physically or just on digital platforms?
Right now, it's just available on all the digital platforms. Now, if you see me in Atlanta, you know, riding through the gas station, I got some in my trunk.
You go ahead, brother. You go ahead.
But it's in it's on all the major digital platforms.
How can people connect with you on social media?
My social media is the same all across the board on Facebook, on Instagram, and on Twitter. It's at Darius Polk, DariusPaulk.
And thank you so much, Darius Polk, and thank you for joining us today. Make sure that you subscribe right now by hitting the subscribe button so that you'll never, ever, ever miss another episode of this podcast. You can also find me and connect with me on Twitter at Lynn Woods. That's LINWOODS, or Instagram at LynnWoods96. This has been the Lynn Woods Gospel Entertainment Podcast, where we talk to inspire. And leading us on out today is my guest, Darius Polk, where you can find his music on all digital platforms again. But here's On and On. God bless.